This is a CBC podcast.
CBC podcasts are supported by HP Print Studio. Express your brand with HP Print Studio. Find free, customized templates to build your business identity, like letterhead, business cards, and shipping labels. Start the journey at www.hp.ca/print.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast version of the Vinyl Cafe. I'm Vinyl Cafe producer Jess Milton. We publish a new podcast every weekend, and you can download the latest or subscribe to the Vinyl Cafe podcast at cbc.ca/podcasting. This week on the show, it's Dave and the Wedding Dress.
Morley got Leslie's phone call early on a Saturday morning. "I'm getting married," said Leslie. Well, that woke Morley up. Morley had been sitting at the kitchen table, staring at a mug of coffee, but now she was sitting there with a smile stretching her face. "That's great," said Morley. And then she paused to, she was madly hunting for a name. To Joe, she said, tentatively. "Of course to Joe," said Leslie. "Who else?" Leslie and Morley have had a long, if not always consistent, friendship. They met years ago when they were both starting in the theater, and their lives followed the same arc for a time. Leslie got married the year after Morley, and when their children were small, they spent a lot of time together. But then life got busy, as life tends to get, and they drifted apart. They came back in contact when Leslie's husband died. That was 12 years ago. Leslie and Joe had been seeing each other for about 4 months, but Morley hadn't met him yet. "What's Katie think?" said Morley. Katie is Leslie's daughter. "Katie's really happy for me," replied Leslie. "Really happy. Katie loves Joe, and I can't wait for you to meet him." In the meantime, Leslie and Morley arranged to get together for lunch. They met in a little Italian place. "Now, I don't want you to be hurt," said Leslie to Morley as soon as they had ordered. I would have asked you if it wasn't for Katie. But I asked Katie instead. I hope you're okay with that." "Probably," said Morley. Morley didn't have a clue what Leslie was talking about. "Maid of honor," said Leslie. "I had to ask Katie, but I'd like you to be the other bridesmaid." "I'm planning a big traditional wedding," said Leslie, "a big hall with dinner and music and dancing. I wanted something completely different from my first wedding." It would be difficult, thought Morley, to have something that wasn't completely different from Leslie's first wedding. Year after graduation, Leslie and her boyfriend had quit their jobs and gone backpacking through Asia. They'd found a holy man, a Buddhist monk in a remote village in Nepal, to marry them. Or at least they thought they had. They spoke no Nepali, and the monk spoke no English. But with a series of exaggerated hand gestures, they had managed to coax him into it. And they stood there, holding hands on a rocky mountainside, standing in front of the holy man and beside their only witness, a confused Sherpa guide. And they recited the vows that they had written the night before. And then the monk, in his wistful and sonorous voice, gave them what he thought they wanted: directions to the market square in Kathmandu. And now, nearing the end of her 40s, here was Leslie talking about seating arrangements and gift registries and wedding cakes and bridal showers. Morley found it sweet. As they were finishing their tea, Leslie leaned across the table and lowered her voice. "We have to talk about your dress," she said. Morley's warm feelings evaporated. If it is one thing Morley has learned about weddings, it is that bridesmaids' dresses are seldom kind to bridesmaids. "Would you mind going shopping with Katie?" asked Leslie. A few weeks later, Morley and Dave were sitting in a little pasta joint waiting for Leslie and Joe to arrive. Morley was nervous about meeting Joe, and when she spotted Leslie, she could feel her heart pounding. Leslie was walking across the restaurant, followed by a pleasant-looking young man in a dark suit. How nice, thought Morley. Leslie's daughter, Katie, and Katie's boyfriend must be joining them. Hope we haven't kept you waiting, said Leslie as she shed her coat and handed it to the young man. Joe, she said to him, this is Morley and Dave. Morley and Dave, this is Joe. It was as if a hinge at the back of Morley's mouth had given way. She sat at the table with her mouth hanging open. Luckily, Joe and Leslie didn't notice. Leslie and Joe were looking at the pool of beer pouring out of the bottle that Dave had dropped on the floor. Once they'd got the beer mopped up, everyone settled down at the table. Joe loosened his tie and took off his jacket. It's so great, he said to Dave and Morley, to meet Leslie's old friends. But all things considered, it was a pleasant evening. Joe, an investment banker, was apparently in his early 30s, although he looked a lot younger. Well, said Morley, as she and Dave walked home, that wasn't so bad. I'm so glad Leslie brought him along. She had to bring him, said Dave. If she had left him at home, she would have had to have got a babysitter. Leslie's supposedly happy daughter, Katie, called Morley a week later to arrange their dress shopping trip. So you met Joe, said Katie. Yes, said Morley, he seemed sweet. Sure, said Katie, if you like 12-year-olds. We went out to dinner, said Morley. Sticking to the facts seemed like the safest tactic. Did he order from the children's menu, asked Katie. Katie and Morley met the next weekend to try on their bridesmaids' dresses. And Katie, more or less, picked up where she had left off on the phone. I was counting on you to be on my side, said Katie, opening the door of the boutique where her mother had sent them. I think, said Morley, it's... Morley was trying to decide between lovely and difficult. She didn't have to. Katie decided for her. Katie interrupted. I think it's ridiculous, said Katie. He's closer to my age than he is to hers. It's like Lolita or something. Which, by the way, she didn't even let me read. And then she said, she expects me to give a speech. I'm supposed to toast the bride. How am I supposed to say anything nice? I just want her to be sensible for a change. She's my mother. Yes, said Morley, she is your mother. But that's not all she is. And I don't think sensible is how love works, even for mothers. They're both quiet for a moment, and in that moment, while Morley and Katie stared at each other, Morley saw in Katie the certainty of youth, certainty that she hadn't felt in decades. Leslie, meanwhile, was so happy and industrious with her wedding preparations that she was seemingly totally oblivious to Katie's opinion of the whole affair. As the weeks rolled by, Morley considered that a feat of extraordinary obtuseness. According to Stephanie, Katie had taken, at least among her friends, to referring to her future stepfather as Jolita. And so it was that Morley made her way through Leslie's wedding day with trepidation at her side. Trepidation that would have turned to terror if she had known what was going on in the basement of the Big Pine Golf and Country Club. What was going on down there while she was storming around upstairs. But Morley was too busy to know. She and Dave had arrived at the golf club hours before the ceremony. Morley had spent the morning running around looking after all the things that need looking after when you're helping your friend on her wedding day. She was arranging flowers and arguing with a caterer, and she was setting little name tags at all the place settings. Morley had her mind on so many things that she didn't notice that Dave had disappeared. Dave was just trying to do what he'd been told to do. "What can I do?" he'd asked his wife. "You could stay out of my way," she had said, as she stormed around. Well, he couldn't just sit there while she worked like that. He helped a guy named Bruce hang a banner across the stage that said, "Congratulations." And then he helped with a PA, which meant crawling under the stage, and it was pretty nasty under there. Then he horsed around with a little boy who was there while his mother delivered flowers, and the kid had a giant water pistol. So by the time Dave saw Morley struggling across the room with Leslie's wedding dress over one arm and a box of confetti in the other, he was both filthy and wet. He said, "Let me take that." He meant the box of confetti. Morley was about to hand him the wedding dress until she saw what a mess he was. And she took the dress herself and they went downstairs together. "I can't leave you out of my sight for a minute," she said, not without affection. They hung the dress in Leslie's change room, and Morley said, "Why don't you take a shower and I'll throw your clothes in the dryer?" And Dave said, "It's okay, I'll drip dry." And she gave him one of those Morley looks, and she said, "It'll only take 20 minutes. I'll be back in 20 minutes. And she went down to the end of the long hallway, and she threw his clothes in the dryer. And then she went upstairs, and when she got there, the caterer asked her something about the meal, and the florist asked her something about the flowers. And the fact that her husband was sitting downstairs with nothing on vanished from her mind. And 20 minutes became 30, and when 30 became 40, Dave, alone in Leslie's change room, knew he was in trouble. He knew what had happened, and he knew what had to happen. He was going to have to make a dash to the dryer by himself. Dryer was at the other end of this huge clubhouse. Dave had gone through the change room from top to bottom, and everything he could possibly use to cover himself was laid out on the table in front of him. There were two linen hand towels, each no bigger than a handkerchief. There was a hand-embroidered decorative pillow. And most promising, his red sock. Which sadly had a hole in it. There had to be something else. It took Dave about 10 minutes to wiggle himself into Leslie's wedding dress. When he finished, he stood in front of the full-length mirror and stared at himself in horror. He was not only in another ridiculous pickle, he was also hairy and awkward and thick. He twisted around so he could see his backside. His bum looked so huge. He hauled the chair from the changing table to the mirror, and he sat down and he stared at himself glumly. And that's what he was doing, sitting in the chair, sipping his coffee, stalling. Part of him wondering vaguely if he was going to make it to the dryer without being seen, and another part of him horrified about how awkward he looked when the door opened. It was Leslie's daughter, Katie. Dave was so deep in denial, so lost in his thoughts, that he looked up at her absentmindedly and said, "Do you think this dress makes me look fat?" Katie, who was standing in front of him shook her head in disbelief. She said, "No wonder my mother doesn't want to marry someone her own age." And that's when Dave realized he was pouring what was left of his coffee into his lap. "Don't worry," said Katie. "It's only your wedding dress." It took them 10 minutes to get organized. Katie got Dave's clothes from the dryer, and he changed in the bathroom, and they laid the dress out on the table like a corpse, the big brown coffee stain right in the middle. Dave circling the table like some kind of large, dim fish. Trying to work out what they were going to do next. 20 minutes later, the dressing room looked like a kitchen pantry. There was baking soda and salt and soda water and a bottle of white wine. "Is it any better?" said Dave. Dave was sitting on the floor in the corner with his head buried in his knees. It's not as dark," said Katie, "but it's quite a bit bigger." It took her half an hour to get it all out. "How's Stephanie, by the way?" said Katie, brushing a few stray grains of salt off the dress. "I keep meaning to write her." "Stephanie's fine," said Dave. "She loves university." "Is she going tree planting again this summer?" asked Katie. "I think so," said Dave. "She had a great time the last couple of years." Katie was hanging her mother's dress on a rack in the corner. Katie said, "I don't think I could do that." "Well, I didn't think Stephanie could either," said Dave. I really thought her first summer was going to be a disaster. I thought she was going to have a miserable, miserable time." Katie looked up. "Well, why'd you let her go then?" And Dave looked surprised. Dave said, "I don't know. I guess that's what parents do. We love our children. We hold them close. And then before we're anywhere near ready, we have to let them go. Sort of about love, but it's more about trust, I guess. Maybe it's all about trust." "I have to go," said Katie. "I'm supposed to give a toast. I came down here to practice." "Well, thanks for your help," said Dave. "What are you going to say?" Katie shrugged. "I have this whole thing written out about how happy I am," she said, "and about how much I love Joe. But it feels weird. I don't know. I don't know if I can do it." "What do you think I should do?" she asked. "I don't know," said Dave. "I never know what to do." "Do your best. You'll be great." Dave didn't see Katie again until it was time for the photos. Katie was smiling gamely for the cameras, but it seemed like tears were never far off. While everyone was crowded around her mother on the steps of the church, Dave caught Katie standing by herself, off to the side, wiping her eyes. A week earlier, Morley had considered saying something to Leslie about having Katie speak at the ceremony. She had decided that it wasn't her place. Now she was having second thoughts. Joe's best man got up first and gave a brief but charming toast to the groom. The only awkward moment was when he referred to the early 90s as the good old days. Then it was Katie's turn. Katie stood up and made her way to the podium unsteadily. "Please God," thought Morley. And she reached out for Dave's hand, but Dave had gone to the washroom. And now Dave was standing by the door talking to Joe, of all people, and they were both smiling. Katie was standing by the microphone. Katie had begun her speech, and Katie was saying, "3 years ago, I went away to university. I was pretty excited, but I was worried too. My mom kept telling me how much fun I was going to have. Never occurred to me that me going away to school was going to be difficult on her. It was my grandmother who told me that she missed me so much that she cried every day for a month. Loving someone is easy. I have to love my mom. Sometimes trusting someone is harder. But in my whole life, I can't remember ever my mother making a mistake. My mom and dad lived their lives the way they wanted, and we were all happy. And then Katie started to cry, and she stopped talking. She stared at the floor, and the room was completely silent. She looked up. "I'm sorry," she said. "This is hard for me." She glanced at Dave. "I'm just trying to do my best," she said. And then she said, "It's been hard for me to share my mom with someone else after all this time. But my mom has let me find my own way, my own happiness, and it's time for me to let her find hers too." Katie looked at Morley, and then she looked at her mother. "Mom," she said, "I'm trying to say how proud I am of you. I'm proud that you have the courage to live your life the way you do. My mother's an extraordinary woman. I think we're supposed to toast her now." And everyone stood up, and they raised their glasses to Leslie. And then they drank and danced and carried on late into the night. Morley and Dave took a cab home from the wedding that night. Sitting in the back seat of the taxi, leaning up against her husband, Morley felt happy for her friend. As she and Dave laced their fingers together, Morley was thinking about how hard it is to predict how any marriage is going to work out. People that you think are perfectly matched stumble and grow apart. Others who seem unlikely pairings at the outset end up celebrating their silver wedding anniversaries and then their gold. Morley closed her eyes and she rested her head against Dave's shoulder. She was thinking that what she wanted was that Leslie would enjoy the great good fortune in marriage that she had. She turned softly to Dave without opening her eyes. She said, "That was fun tonight." Then she said, "I love you." Dave shifted in the back of the cab, but he didn't say anything. "Dave," she said. But it was too late. Dave was already snoring. Thank you very much.
That was Stuart McLean, and that's from The Vinyl Cafe. You can listen to The Vinyl Cafe on CBC Radio 1, CBC Radio 2, on Sirius 137, and on select public radio stations in the USA. To find out how you can listen to the show, or to learn more about The Vinyl Cafe, you can go to the website, cbc.ca/vinylcafe. The website has all the latest information, including a complete list of tour dates. We also put out a new podcast every week. You can download the latest or subscribe to the Vinyl Cafe podcast and dozens of other great podcasts at cbc.ca/podcasting.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.